Hare Krishna, I welcome everybody to Bhakti Sangha Japa conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have His Grace Ramchandra Prabhuji to enlighten us on topic Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, 18th chapter, 20th verse onwards. Hare Krishna, Ramchandra Prabhuji, are you there on the call?
Hello, I am seeing Prabhuji on the call. 2 minutes back.
Hare Krishna, Ramchandra Prabhuji, please accept my humble obeisance. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Guru Maharaj ki jai. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for joining and giving your association. We are very fortunate to have you on the call. Prabhuji, please take over the call, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Prabhupada and my obeisances to all the devotees who have joined the call. So we can start, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji, please take over the call and start, Prabhuji. Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Thank you, Mataji. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskrityam Naram Chaiva Narottam Devim Sarasvatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudhirai Nashta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttam Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtuki Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nanda Nayacha Nanda Gopakumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Hare Krishna. So we will be continuing our study of Srimad Bhagavatam from Canto 4, chapter number 18, and we will be starting with verse number 20, and we will be covering two verses today, 20 and 21. So verse number 20 is Anye cha mayino mayam antardhanadbhutam manam mayam prakalpya vatsam te duduhu dharyanam mayam Anye cha mayino mayam antardhanadbhutatmanam mayam prakalpya vatsamte duduhur dharanamayam. Anye cha mayino mayam antardhanadbhutatmanam mayam prakalpya vatsamte duduhur dharanamayam. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Translation. Others also, the inhabitants of planets known as Kim Purusha Loka, made the demon Maya into a calf, and they milked out mystic powers by which one can disappear immediately from another's vision and appear again in a different form. Purport. It is said that the inhabitants of Kim Purusha Loka can perform many wonderful mystic demonstrations. In other words, they can exhibit as many wonderful things as one can imagine. The inhabitants of this planet can do whatever they like or whatever they imagine. Such powers are also mystic powers. The possession of such mystic power is called Ichita. The demons generally learn such mystic powers by the practice of yoga. In the Dasham Skand, 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a vivid description of how the demons appear before Krishna in various wonderful forms. For instance, Bakasur appeared before Krishna and his cowherd boyfriends as a gigantic crane. While present on this planet, Lord Krishna had to fight with many demons who could exhibit the wonderful mystic powers of Kim Purusha Loka. Although the inhabitants of Kim Purusha Loka are naturally endowed with such powers, one can attain these powers on this planet by performing different yogic practices. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshurunmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunatanvitam Tamsa Jivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Shute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nam Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Nam Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschata Deshatari Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Others also, the inhabitants of planets known as Kim Purusha Loka made the demon Maya into a calf and they milked out mystic powers by which one can disappear immediately from another's vision and appear again in a different form. So first of all, I would like to thank the organizers of this call for giving me an opportunity to serve devotees. And I hope that whatever little bit I can share will be helpful for all the devotees. So in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam, I'm sure this is being discussed, this is being discussed through the last previous classes also, how Mother Earth, having taken the form of a cow, is reciprocating or is passing on to different classes of people who are in different modes, who are approaching her in the form of a calf. Now it's important to understand why, this, call it not even an analogy, but why is it a cow and a calf that's being used? If you see, for a cow, what is the essence of a cow? The milk. And who has first rights, you can say, over that milk? It's the calf. It's always the tradition that the calf first honors the milk of the cow And after that, whatever is the surplus, whatever is the milk, it's enjoyed by others. It's provided to others. Just like, you know, what comes to my mind is in the Gita Mahatmya we read, Sarva Upanishad Gavo. So it is explained that all these Upanishads can be compared to a cow again. Sarva Upanishad, all the Upanishads are compared to a gav. Gav means a cow. And then it says, Dogda Gopal Nandana. Who's the cowherd boy who's making this essence out of this whole Upanishads in the form of a cow? As I said, the sense of the cow is what? The milk. Who is that? Gopal Nandana, Krishna. He spoke the Bhagavad Gita, right? So, Sarva Upanishad Gavo, Dogda Gopal Nandana, Partho Vatsaha. Vatsaha means the calf. Who's the calf? Partho means who? Arjuna. Because who was the first recipient of this essence of the Upanishads that is being milked out by Krishna? Arjuna. He was the first recipient. And Sudhir Bhokta. And who are the others who are Bhokta means who are going to enjoy, who are going to relish this nectar that's being that's coming out of Krishna's mouth? Sudhir. See, you have three types of people: Dhir, Adhir, and Sudhir. So Dhir are the Dhir are the hello. Dhir are the intelligent people who know, who see things correctly. Adhir are the people who see things just opposite. And Sudhir are the extremely intelligent people. Sudhir, just like we have Subhadra. Bhadra is auspicious, Subhadra is all auspicious. When you say Sudhir means all intelligent people, they are the ones who will be able to relish this nectar of Bhagavad Gita. Sudhir Bhokta. Bhokta means enjoyer. Dugdam Gitamritam Mahat. Very nice. Same example which is being given in the Gita Mahatmya. That Krishna is milking the essence of all the Upanishads. Because on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, Krishna didn't have the time. You know, it was a crisis. Krishna had to just give the essence to Arjuna in that one and a half hour. And that's the reason why Prabhupada told us also that in Kaliyuga for us, we don't have that bandwidth to sit and study all the Vedas and the Puranas and all. Just if we can understand these 700 verses of Bhagavad Gita, and then again by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, he's makes it further to his purpose. Sometimes it's been so difficult to understand just the translations of Bhagavad Gita. What is the message? What is Krishna trying to explain here? Prabhupada has further milked out, given us more, even further condensed that essence. That's why Prabhupada told us, I have given you all enough, just enough, that will, by which you all can perfect your lives and go back to Godhead. You don't need anything more than this. We don't need to. One time I remember one person came and asked me, Prabhuji, can you tell me where I can get, I want to read one of the Vedas. So I told him which Veda. He gave me one name, Rig Veda. And I was looking at him and I said, you want to read the Vedas? What are you going to understand out of it? I told him, I'm sorry, I don't have access to it and I don't even know where you can have access to it. So here in this section of the Bhagavatam, we see that different classes of, you know, people, some who are involved in goodness, passion, in ignorance, they are all approaching Mother Earth. And Mother Earth is reciprocating to her child off. To whatever they are asking. Because I'm sure it's all been explained already in the previous verses how Prithu Maharaj got angry and he wanted the earth to, you know, reciprocate and give humanity at large. So she said, okay. And she is giving. And if you see, you almost see it in the previous verses how Prithu Maharaj, he made Swayambhu Manu a calf and we got herbs and grains. The sages, they made Brihaspati the calf and they got Vedic knowledge. Demigods made Indra the calf and they got Soma beverage. sons of Diti made Prahlad Maharaj the calf, and they got liquor and beer. The Gandharva and the Apsara Lokas, they made Vishwavasu the calf, and they got musical art and beauty. And in last words, we saw Siddha Lok and Vidyadhar Lok. They made Kapil Muni the calf, and they got mystic yogas. And even in today's verse, we are saying that how the Kim Purusha Lokas, they have made demon Maya into a calf, and they are also getting out mystic powers. So we will talk about these mystic powers, and again in the future verses, we are also going to see cobras and snakes. They are going to drop poison out of the earth. Four-legged animals, they will approach Mother Earth and they will get fresh green grass to eat. Birds are going to approach her, and they are going to ask for moving insects, plants, grass for their sustenance. It's such a blend, you see. Some are in goodness, so they are asking for Vedic knowledge, they are asking for herbs and grains for the benefit of others. Some are in passion, so they are asking for, musical art, beauty, liquor, beer. And some are, of course, it's a blend of all passion, ignorance, some are asking for soma beverage, some are asking for mystic powers. And Mother Earth is reciprocating. This is what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. And this principle applies to Krishna and his energy. What does Krishna say? Ye yatha mam prapadyante, tamstathe bhajami aham. However one approaches me, I reciprocate accordingly. What you want, I will give you exactly that only. And his energy. So we see the same thing, the same principle applies here. That however the Mother Earth is being approached, she is reciprocating. So let us talk about this in these two verses. In the last verse and in this verse, we saw that the inhabitants, now in this verse, we are seeing the inhabitants of Kim Purusha Loka, they are approaching the Mother Earth for mystic powers. And I'm sure in the last class, it must have been explained, what are these siddhis? We have Anima, Lagima, Api, Asita, Vishita, somebody can become bigger than the biggest, smaller than the smallest, heavier than the heaviest, lighter. All these powerful, you can get all these siddhis. So let us think, are these siddhis good or bad? Are they a need or they are not needed? What are these siddhis? So these siddhis can be compared to like a knife. Depending on whose hand this knife is. If the knife is in the hand of a doctor, wonderful, right? The doctor can really, save lives with the help of a knife. But what if this same knife is in the hand of a dacoit? He can take lives, right? So is the knife good or bad? The knife is good and bad, depending on its usage, in whose hand it is and how it's being utilized. So similarly, these siddhis, these mystic powers, I'll give you an example. It depends in whose hands they are and how they are being used. See, this mystic powers, Ravana also had it. And what did he use it for? Like in this verse that we read. To kidnap Sita, what did Ravana do? He changed his form. From this huge form of his, he became a very simple sadhu and he approached Sita as a sadhu begging for alms. And then it's all history like how he kidnapped Sita. Demonic. He had the powers, but what was he using it for? For a very demonic reason, to kidnap Sita. Now these same siddhis were in the hands of whom? Hanumanji. Hanumanji also was so powerful. He also had these mystic siddhis. But how did he use it? Hanumanji used these siddhis in the service of Lord Ram. We know that when he was crossing the ocean, when he had to go to Lanka to find out the whereabouts of Sita Devi, so nobody was being able to cross the ocean. except for Hanumanji. And we know when he was crossing over the ocean, you know, he was challenged by so many demons and demonesses. So there was this demoness, Surasa. And she wanted, actually she was testing Hanumanji. So she told Hanumanji, I'm going to devour you. I want to eat you. So Hanumanji said, I'm on a mission. I want to, when I come back, I will fulfill your desire. But she said, no, I'm going to devour you now. So what did Hanumanji do? He used his mystic powers. He used his siddhis over here. He started becoming big, huge. And the Surasa went on opening her mouth to devour him. 100 yojanas she opened her mouth. I'm going to devour you now. I'm going to eat you. And then immediately what did Hanumanji do? From bigger than the biggest, he became smaller than the smallest. He became as small as a fly, went into her mouth. He said, I fulfilled your desire. I went into your mouth. I came out. Now please let me go. So what is the point that I'm trying to make? That the siddhis in itself are not bad. It depends on how and who has them and how it's been used. And it's also dependent on how this, whoever has the siddhis, how they get it. I'll give you another two examples. Siddhis can be got by approaching Krishna. You approach Krishna, Vishnu, Narayan, you can get amazing powers. And you can get these same mystic powers, siddhis, by approaching anyone apart from Krishna, like the demigods. You do tapasya, there's a process, there's a way by which if you practice it perfectly, the demigods are bound to give you because you did it perfectly. If you do 100 Ashwamedh yagyas, you're going to become Indra, it's like that. I've given two examples to understand this principle. See, we have Hiranyakashipu. He did tremendous tapasya. Right? Everybody knows of the pastime. He did tremendous tapasya to please whom? To please Brahmaji. And he pleased Brahmaji. Means Brahmaji appeared. And then what did he ask Brahmaji? He asked Brahmaji that, you know, that very famous life insurance policy he asked for. I should not die in the morning, evening, outside, inside, not by weapons, not by an animal, not by a human being. Oh, he thought he had taken care of everything. When Brahmaji granted it to him, first he asked Brahmaji, I want the boon of never dying. Brahmaji said, I don't have it myself, how can I give it to you? Then he backed it up with this benediction. And then when he was granted that benediction, this insurance, imagine what type of an insurance this is. Can any insurance company in this world give you this type of an insurance? He got it. He had all the powers. Now, no animal, no power on the demigods were also scared of him. See, this is the problem. He got this from the demigods. When you get it from the demigods, there is no purification. The demigods just give it to you. You ask for a TV, here's your TV. And that's why Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita says, Antavat tu phalam tesham tad bhavati alpa medasam. Krishna doesn't approve of it. He says, less intelligent people, alpa medasam. Sumedasam is the very intelligent people, and alpa medasam are the less intelligent people. He says, they go to anybody but me. Why? What is the problem? He says, antavat tu phalam tesham. Whatever they will get from them is temporary. It's not permanent. Tad bhavati alpa medasam. The alpa medasam, the less intelligent people are attracted to it. And we see in case of Hiranyakashipu, whatever he got, it was just a matter of time he lost it. So, what is the other side when you approach Krishna, Vishnu, Narayan? Another example in the Srimad Bhagavatam is of whom? Dhruv Maharaj. Did the same thing what Hiranyakashipu did. He did tremendous tapasya for 6 months in Madhuvan. And the Lord appeared. And now when Dhruv Maharaj went and did the tapasya, what did he do? He had a desire. He also wanted, He wanted a kingdom, you know, bigger than even his grandfather Brahmaji. And so when Krishna was pleased, when Vishnu, Lord, the Lord appeared in front of him, what happened? He was ready to give Dhruva. He said, yes, whatever you want, ask me. This is the difference. When Dhruva saw the Lord, when we get connected to the Lord, what happens? Purification. He just forgot his desires. He said, no, I don't want anything. The Lord said, no, I want to give you something. And he tells the Lord, what should I ask you for? Anything that I ask you will just be like a broken glass in comparison to this diamond. And the height is that the Lord, despite that, awarded him what he originally desired. He gave him Dhruva, pole star. It's yours. You live there. Now Dhruva got the pole star. But what happened? He lost the taste for it. Please understand this principle. In both the cases, you get what you want. In case of Krishna also, you are getting what you want. In case of demigods also, you are getting what you want. But where is the difference? The difference is when you approach Krishna, he gives you. But he takes away the taste for that. You can be praying and, you know, you can be doing tapasyas to get a TV, you know, a big, I want a home theater. And Krishna will give it to you. By the time the home theater comes, you lost taste for it. This is such a headache. So this is the main difference. And that is why, what does Krishna say? Krishna says, Satama sarvakamava mokshakama udharate. He says, if you have no desires. Sarva kama, you have a lot of desires. Moksha kama, whatever you have, what do? Tivrena bhakti yogena jajate purusha param. Just don't go anywhere else. Go to the param purush. Govindam adi purusham. Go to him. Come to me. Because, my dear friend, I know what is good for you. If I see that something is not good for you, I want to give you. He gives us what we need, what will be helpful to bring that jiva closer to him. And if he sees that there's something which, you know, it's not going to be helpful for this person, he doesn't give it. Whereas in any other case, they are bound, they just give it. Irrespective of whether this will be good or this will be bad, or they give it. Like now, Mother Earth is giving beverages, liquor, beer, animal fat, animal meat. She is not discriminating, oh, whether this is good for this person, whether this is bad, how this is going to be helpful. So this is very important to understand, that whom do we approach? That is what Prabhupada used to say. Just go to Krishna. Whatever it is. Whatever we need anything, we don't need anything. Akama, sarvakama, moksha kama. You want moksha also. Go to Krishna. This is the main difference. So that is what we are seeing in this verse, that the residents of Purusha Loka, they are also asking for mystic powers. And now we'll go to the next verse. That is verse number 21. And there's a reason why I'm taking this verse. Once we get into the verse, I'll explain it. So this is 4:18:21.
Yaksha rakshamsi bhutani pishacha pishitashana bhutesha vatsa duduho kapale shatajasavam.
Then the yakshas, rakshasas, ghosts and witches who are habituated to eating flesh transformed Lord Shiva's incarnation Rudra, Bhutanath, into a calf and milked out beverages made of blood and put them in a pot made of skulls. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are some types of living entities in the form of human beings, whose living conditions and eatables are most abominable. Generally, they eat flesh and fermented blood, which is mentioned in this verse as Shatajasavam. The leaders of such degraded men known as Yakshasas, Rakshasas, Bhutas and Pishachas are all in the mode of ignorance. They have been placed under the control of Rudra. Rudra is the incarnation of Lord Shiva and is in charge of the mode of ignorance in material nature. Another name of Lord Shiva is Bhutanath, meaning master of ghosts. Rudra was born from between Brahma's eyes when Brahma was very angry at the four Kumaras. So now we have next level of people or personalities approaching the Lord, approaching the earth. Yakshasas, Rakshasas, ghosts and Vishnu. In the last verse we saw goodness and passion a bit, you know, how they are approaching the Lord. And even till mystic powers, it's all, you know, generally of course when demons, as I said, they approach it, it's passion and ignorance. But when it's approached for a good cause, it's goodness. But Prabhupada was explaining, and I should have mentioned it when I was talking about the last word, what about the devotee? For devotees, they are not at all attracted to all these mystic yogis, I mean mystic powers and all. One time Srila Prabhupada, he was approached by a devotee. And this devotee tells Srila Prabhupada that, Prabhupada, do you know, one of my friends, his guru can fly. He was very, you know, impressed by this, that his guru, my friend's guru can fly. What was Srila Prabhupada's response? Srila Prabhupada was so calm. He just smiled and he told the devotee, what's the big deal? So too cockroaches. Even cockroaches fly. So, the point is that for devotees, they are not attracted, they are not interested in all this. Actually, in the Chaitanya Leela, in the Mahaprakash Leela, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is offering these mystic powers that we are hearing in these verses to Sridhar Kulavich. He's saying, I can give you all these riddhis and siddhis. Please take it. What is Sridhar Kulavich's response? He's saying, my Lord, I don't want them. They will only create disturbance in my life. This is devotees. They're not attracted by all this. And sometimes even if they have it, devotees by their power of their devotion, they have it. We see in the example of Amrish Maharaj, it is explained by our Acharya that he could have counteracted this demon who was produced by the power of Durvasa Muni. But did he do that? He didn't do it. He preferred to take shelter of the Lord. My Lord, if you think that's good, I'm happy with that also. Parikshit Maharaj had the power to counteract the curse of Sringi. He didn't do it. He took it rather as a blessing. Oh, wonderful. I have a 7-day notice. Let me make the best of it. So this is devotees versus, you know, all these level of people whom we are seeing till the last verse. And in this verse now, we are seeing even yakshas, akshasas, ghosts, witches, they are approaching Mother Earth. And whom they have transformed into a calf? Very interesting. Rudra. Bhutanath. Who is that? It's actually Lord Shiva's expansion. And what is Lord Shiva expanded to, you know, get out of planet Earth, of Mother Earth? Beverages made of blood. What is the vessel in which he is supposed to collect it? The vessel, the pot is made of skulls. Ignorance. This is total mode of ignorance. And the highlight of this is, who is Lord Shiva? Imagine, now let's try to think. Lord Shiva is in this situation, in this position. whereby he has a skull in his hand. Bhutanath has a skull in his hand and he's approaching mother, his mother, Earth, for beverages. So let us try to understand why. First, we'll try to understand who Lord Shiva is and why is he in this position also. Why is he doing it? Lord Shiva. Who is Lord Shiva? Lord Shiva has been very wonderfully explained by Brahmaji in Brahma Samhita.
Kshiram yatha dadi vikara vishesha yoga sanjayate nahi tatha pritavasti heto yah shambhutam api tatha samupaiti karyad govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami.
Brahmaji is explaining that just like from milk, milk gets transformed into curd. Curd is just a form, a different form of milk. So this curd, it is just like milk and it is not milk. Right? I'm sure you all have read the translation, purports and all that. In the same way, Lord Krishna transforms himself, you can say, or expands him to himself as Sadashiv. So Sadashiv in his original form is always immersed in the thoughts of Krishna. He is always thinking of Krishna. He does nothing else. And then he expands himself into Rudra, into Bhutanath to do what he is supposed to be doing, what he is expected to be doing. Now this is the compassion. This is the mercy of Krishna. This is the love of Krishna even for the Yakshas, the Rakshasas, the Bhutas, the Pishachas. Try to understand. Why does Krishna have to do this, you know, take a, you know, expand himself as Lord Shiva, Rudra, and then what a task, what a thankless service this is of Lord Shiva to be in charge of all these, you know, not even weird, dangerous thinking, you know, demonic thinking, yakshas and rakshasas and pishachas. Why does Krishna do that? This is Krishna's love. This is Krishna's compassion. We don't know how much Krishna actually loves the jiva. Because who are these yakshas and rakshasas and pishachas? Mamayvamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana. That is, all these living entities are my amsha. Which means, please try to understand, this is so amazing, that all these bhutas, pishachas, all of them are also Krishna's parts and parcels. Krishna loves them also. Krishna cannot give up on them. If a mother has two sons, one son is very fine, very nice, very humble, very disciplined, obedient, and you have this other son who is totally revolted, totally won't do what you want him to do, and he's just, you know, so passionate and so. But for the mother, it's both the son, it's still her sons. Will the mother give up this son who's a bit demonic and she says, okay, I just don't want you to be my son, you. No. For her, it's still my son. She will do everything. She'll do anything for that child. See, when Draupadi, when she comes to know that Karna is her son, Karna is so demonic. Karna is hell-bent now to kill her five sons, the five Pandavas, right? Yet Kunti Devi is, you know, so soft Karna. She's pleading him, please Karna, let go this enmity. They are your brothers. And when Karna is killed, Kunti Devi cries. And even the five Pandavas, when they come to know that Karna is our brother, they cry. Now just think, just imagine that if this is the feeling of Kunti Devi for her child, Karna, who is so demonic, so won't Krishna have that love for all? He says, I have, for me, for him it's a Jivatma. So now what to do of these Jivas? He has to take care of them also. Because ultimately all these jivas in this material world are being controlled by Krishna only in the form of his energy. Maya dhakshena prakriti suyate sa characharam. It's under my adhyaksh, my superintendent, that everything is happening. And all these living entities also, whatever they are doing, they might think that they are the doers. Ahankara vimudatma. He says he's a vimudatma, he's a foolish person who thinks that he's doing it. Karta aham iti manyate. It's not he. It's the three modes, depending on which mode he's controlled, that makes him dance. If he's under mode of goodness, he'll be sattvic. If he's controlled by mode of passion, he'll be passionate. And these yakshas and rakshasas, they are totally under the control of the mode of ignorance. All three are chains. This is how Durga Devi is operating in this Durga, material world. Right? This is a Durga. A jail, a prison house with no walls. Whenever you want, you can. She's telling, go. She rather wants you to go. We don't want to go. And then what she does? You know, when you go to a jail, they bind you with chains, right? You'll have chains on your leg. So she also binds us. What are the three chains? Satogun, Rajogun, Tamogun. All three are binding. And sometimes, you know, when we are in so much of goodness, we are so happy, you know. But it's still a chain. It's a golden chain. Kingston, when he's in the jail, he said, no, you know, put him a chain made of gold. The poor person, when he's in jail, he's put a chain of made of iron. What sense does it make? All the three chains are still binding you. They're still keeping you in the jail. That's not where you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be out of the jail. So similarly, these yakshas and rakshasas, they are bound by this chain of ignorance, tamoguna. So what to do? One simple way is Krishna just gives up, well, sorry, I have nothing to do with you, y'all are just... That's not the mother we just now understood. So here comes in Krishna's role as Lord Shiva. This is compassion, Krishna's compassion. Please try to understand how much he loves the Jivatma, how much he wants us to come back to him. More than we wanting to go back, Prabhupada used to say, Krishna wants us to come back. Krishna is waiting. When will you come back? You know, we hear and we've seen that picture of Krishna embracing Gopakumar. Krishna was in tears. I've been waiting for you. When will you come back? And each one of us, as long as we are in this material world, we are actually depriving Krishna of some rasa. Prabhupada used to say, every jivatma has a very unique relationship with Krishna. So as long as we don't get back to the spiritual world, in a way we are depriving Krishna. So Krishna, out of his compassion, out of his love, more than compassion, out of his love for these jivatmas, because Krishna knows there will be jivatmas in mode of ignorance also, and I have to take care of them also. So what do? He expands and he comes, he's taken this form of Sadashiv, who expands as Bhutanath, Rudra, Lord Shiva. Because this Lord Shiva is Vaishnavanam Yatha Shambhu. He's the topmost of all the Vaishnavas. Because, as we just now understood, what is the purpose of his existence? To help. To help the Jivatma, who's in standard 1 or in KG or in kindergarten, who don't have that understanding. This is Vaishnavanam. Vaishnava's existence is only for one purpose. What is the purpose? How I can help others, even at any cost. We've already seen, right, in Srimad Bhagavatam, when this halahal comes out, poison comes out, and it's going to destroy, there's going to be mass destruction, and nobody knows what to do. What do they do? Whom do they approach? The same Lord Shiva. we have to understand, because when somebody will read this word, they'll say, hey, Lord Shiva, he's taking a skull and he's approaching the earth. And what is he approaching her for? But you forget that the same Lord Shiva earlier or later, what does he do? He takes in this whole halahal poison. Why does he do it? For his love, his compassion. Just to save all of us, he does this. That is why he is Vaishnavanam Yathashambhu. Sukadeva Goswami explains, right, in Srimad Bhagavatam. He is the topmost of all the Vaishnavas. Because we need to understand what does it mean to be a Vaishnava. Vaishnava's existence is this. See, one time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was asked by the residents of Kulinagram, Mahaprabhu, Vaishnav ke, who's a Vaishnava? How do we know who's a Vaishnava? So the first time when Mahaprabhu was approached, what did Mahaprabhu say? Anyone who chants one time Hare Krishna, Krishna's name, is a Vaishnava. Oh, residents are very happy. Wow, everybody, you know, we are chanting and we'll make everybody chant once Krishna's name and he's a Vaishnava. Next year, again the same residents asked Mahaprabhu the same question, Vaishnav ke? What was the answer? Now, next level, right? 1 year has passed. So what does Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tell them? One who chants Krishna's name always, Kirtanya Sadahari. Right? I was recently hearing Gauram Prabhu was here in Pune and he gave some wonderful, wonderful classes. So he was saying that one time one person approached him and he said, hey, you people keep telling us we should chant 16 rounds, 2 hours in a day, 2.5 hours. Where in Bhagavad Gita has Krishna said this? That we should chant his names 2 hours, 2.5 hours in a day. Gauram Prabhu just looked at him and he said, do you want to know what Krishna told in Bhagavad Gita? He said, yes, I want to know. He told him, Krishna said in Bhagavad Gita, Satatam Kirtayanto Mam. Yeto Prabhupada has given us concession. We have to pay obeisances to Prabhupada morning, afternoon and night. Upon you can't do Satatam Kirtayanto Mam. You cannot Kirtanya Sadahari is, yes, that is our aspiration, but to be there, first start with 16 rounds. That is in itself challenging for us. Right? So Mahaprabhu tells these residents of Kulina, Ram, one who chants Krishna's name constantly, always chanting Krishna. Now this was our next level. Third year, the same residents again ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Vaishnav ke? And this time the answer that he gives was very, very powerful. Who is a Vaishnava? What does he say? He says, that person in whose presence, if you just come in contact with that person or just in his presence, you become Krishna conscious. You feel the presence of Krishna. You get connected to Krishna. He is a Vaishnava. He is a Vaishnava. This is Srila Prabhupada. In the good old days, I think I told him in my previous classes also, all these Americans, they just couldn't understand Prabhupada. No. His dialect and the philosophy was so foreign for them. But just because they were coming in contact with this Vaishnava, darshane pavitra karo. You know, we sing that bhajan, e bar karuna karo Vaishnava gosai. So in that, what is the line? Gangara sparasha hoile paschate pavan. Just by touching Ganges water, coming in contact with Ganges water, one gets purified. But for the Vaishnava, what does he say? Darshane pavitra karo. E tomara guna. This is your quality. That if somebody just gets a glimpse, just in your presence, he can become purified. And this is what Lord Shiva is doing. Why would he otherwise want to take charge of all these yakshasas and rakshasas and all? It's his compassion. Over a period of time, all these yakshasas, pishachas who are taking shelter of Lord Shiva, he knows exactly how over a period of time they will get transformed, because they are just we are connected to the topmost of all the Vaishnavas, Lord Shiva. There are so many examples in Bhagavatam, in the scriptures, of Lord Shiva's, you know, mercy, how his compassion just transformed people. Right? We see in the life of, we see the example of Banasura. Banasura, we know, was a demon, right? But he was not sure. He had 100 arms, right? And 1,000. And he used to play the drums. And, you know, Lord Shiva would dance on the to the tune of those drums. And then one day, Banasura tells Lord Shiva that, you know, I have these 1,000 arms, I want to fight someone. He says, Lord Shiva says, he used to fight and he used to drop down mountains and all, but he couldn't get somebody equivalent to give him a fight, a match. So, he tells, Lord Shiva tells you, fight Krishna. One day you will fight Krishna. So, long story short, he fights Krishna, he's defeated, Krishna cuts down all his arms, and then because Lord Shiva has given this benediction to Banasura that I will protect you, Lord Shiva comes and fights Krishna. It's so amazing, this whole pastime, you know, if we can discuss in detail. And Lord Shiva is defeated. Now, Krishna asks Lord Shiva, why did you do this? You know better than anybody else my position, your position, why did you do that? And Lord Shiva tells Lord Krishna, the reason I did it was I want to establish your supremacy, that you are supreme, because most of my followers, all my followers think that I am so powerful, I am supreme, I want to see at what cost he is doing it. Somebody might ridicule, oh, Lord Shiva, how can you do that, you know? He knows, and then too, he is fighting Lord Krishna. At what? He doesn't care I'll be defamed, people will make fun of me. No. He wants to establish this fact that Krishna, you are the supreme. At whatever cost he can do it, he does it. Another, we see in the example of even Vrikrasur, right? Vrikrasur was doing this tapasya, strong tapasya, to please Lord Shiva. And you know, it came to a stage where he started cutting his flesh and offering it to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva not appearing, Lord Shiva not pleased. Finally, he takes this sword and he's holding it on his neck and he's going to cut his head off. I'm going to offer my head to Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva appears. Lord Shiva appears and then he asks him, okay, what do you want? You have done such tremendous tapasya, for what? And we know what this demon asks for, right? He says that, I want a benediction that on whomsoever head I keep my hand, he should be destroyed. See, this is what is demonic. You get the siddhi, and then what happens? What is next? Now he wants to destroy Lord Shiva only. From whom he gets, he wants to use it in person. And the whole long pastime, we know, you know, how Lord Shiva is running about to save himself, and how Vishnu appears as this small, beautiful boy, and he tells Vrikrasura, how can you believe Lord Shiva? He keeps giving all these benedictions, and trust me, they are not, most of the time they don't even work. Just imagine if in an audience you tell them that I have this power and the power doesn't work. Now, because this was Lord Vishnu appeared in this beautiful form, so fascinating, he tells Vrikrasura, you try it first on your head. I'm telling you, it won't work also. And he was so fascinated by this boy that he couldn't even think, and he just keeps his hand on his head and destroyed. Lord Shiva, he's the topmost of all the Vaishnavas, and just his objective of taking care of all these, this level of people, is to somehow ultimately bring them to a higher level of understanding, higher level of consciousness. Because as I said, just coming in contact with the Vaishnav, Mrigari the hunter just came in contact with Narad Muni once. Just once. Transformed. Totally transformed. Valmiki, who was a dacoit, his name was he just came in contact with Narad Muni once. He was transformed into Valmiki, Ratnakara Daku. So this is the thankless task that actually Lord Shiva has taken upon himself to deliver this class of people also, because this is the love of Krishna for his, for all the jivas. For him, it's still his child. And we see this same mood of Lord Shiva in our Srila Prabhupada. See, Lord Srila Prabhupada, we know, you know, everybody has read, but it's so purifying just to repeat, keep repeating about talking about Srila Prabhupada. Sitting in Vrindavan, he was so comfortable. He was a very respected sadhu sannyasi, and 70 years, he just could have thought, okay, you know, now I have done what I had to do. And what drove him? What drove him to leave Vrindavan and come to this Western world? Of course, he had this order of his spiritual master on his head, and he had the compassion in his heart to deliver the West. And imagine what a sacrifice at the age of 70, coming in the Jaladuta, suffering heart attacks. And when he comes to, you know, where he stayed post Butler, Pennsylvania, right? He gets the same shock. You know, we all know he stayed in this Gopal Agarwal's house with his wife Sally Agarwal. And when he sees in the, you know, storage, in the refrigerator, all this meat items and all. Now, Prabhupada is born in a pure Vaishnav family. He's just heard about all this, but he's never even seen. He has no idea what it means also to eat. And here he is. See, in the sacrifice that this person is making for us, he's staying in that house where you know, it was such a, like a culture shock for him. But did he give up? He could have just given up and said, okay, this is not for me and I am out of here. I am a Paramhamsa Vaishnava. I am Ashtotara Shada. I'm just leaving. I'm going back to Vrindavan. No. The same mood as Lord Shiva. He did the same thing actually. Because he had love. He could see the suffering of the people in Kali Yuga. And he had the very simple means. He knew how to deliver them. See, compassion is good, but that compassion has to be backed with means of how to help people, right? And he had that means. He was empowered. He's an empowered representative of Lord Nityananda. He has the tool. What is that tool? The chanting of Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. That's a powerful tool which can transform the lives of these people from this subhuman platform where they are. Right? Because, you know, it's just like, as long as we are in this mode of ignorance, Shastras explain, you are just like a two-legged animal. Samanyam etat pashubhi naranam. That you are just a two-legged animal. So he had the tool to bring this person from this platform where I am as good as a two-legged animal to which platform? To become a Paramhamsa devotee. And how? I mean, what was the driving force? The compassion of Lord Shiva that we see, the same thing we are seeing in Srila Prabhupada. And we are seeing the same compassion flowing down through his representatives also. And that is what we should also try to imbibe. Of course, we cannot imitate Prabhupada. We cannot imitate all these acharyas. We have to follow in their footsteps. Right? So we should try to imbibe. We should try our utmost, even if one, okay, I cannot do like Prabhupada saving thousands and thousands of people. One person I can help in some way, be it through prasadam, be it through the holy name, be it through books. As long as we don't have that some degree of compassion, some degree of pain in our heart to see the suffering of the people, we won't do it. Vaishnava means this. Vaishnava is pained to see the suffering of others. Vasudev, when he was told, I can send you back to, he said, I don't want to go. I want to be on planet Earth. I want to be here as long as everybody is delivered. I'm ready to take the reaction of everybody. This is a Vaishnava. This is a Vaishnava. Prahlad Maharaj is praying for his father Hiranyakashipu, who all through the life of Prahlad Maharaj, from the time his memory came in till the last day till Hiranyakashipu was killed, all that Hiranyakashipu did was torment Prahlad Maharaj. That's all. And at the end of the day, what is Prahlad Maharaj doing? He's praying to Lord Narsingdev, please forgive my father. This is a Vaishnava. This is a Vaishnava. Forgiving and forgiving. Two things, right? Forgiving is easy. We sometimes just say, I forgive you. Okay. But more important, see, forgiving is divine. Forgetting is Vaishnava. You don't only forgive. You forget it. You take it out of your brain that this person ever did anything wrong to me. That is the condition of forgiveness. If you forgive someone and you still keep in your heart, this guy, he did this with me, and whenever you see Hari Bol, and then in your heart you still have those ill feelings, then that's not perfection of forgiveness. Prahlad Maharaj forgot everything. All that Hiranyakashipu had done, he forgot. He only remembered one thing of Hiranyakashipu. Do you know what? That one time my father made me sit on his lap and he kissed my head and he had tears in his eyes. The only one good thing that Hiranyakashipu did was so bright in the memory of Prahlad Maharaj. And all other, he threw him in a pit of snakes and he threw him into the fire. He just forgot everything. He didn't keep it, hear that. No. This is Krishna. This is what we need to learn from these pastimes and these personalities of Srimad Bhagavatam Chaitanya Charitamrita. We have to imbibe. As I said, we cannot imitate, but we have to try to imbibe this quality to some degree in our lives. And then when we imbibe this type of compassion, this type of loving, care for people, then we are empowered by Krishna. After Prabhupada went from Jaladut and after the heart attack, Krishna actually took charge of Prabhupada's life. He said, now see what's going to happen. And we saw what happened. Never in the history of humanity has seen what we see Prabhupada do in that 12 years. How? Empowerment comes from Krishna. He was totally empowered. Krishna took charge of his life. And he just allowed Krishna to do what he wanted him to do. Similarly, when we become instruments in the hands of Krishna, then miraculous things can happen. Not that we want to do miraculous things to become famous. I also did this. No, we don't want that. We just want to be instruments in the hands of Krishna's compassion. For that, first, as I said, we need to develop this love. When we see the suffering of others, we should feel pained. And that is what we have seen in this verse. Lord Shiva is going to the extent of taking this skull on behalf of the Yakshasas to draw from Mother Earth. He's ready to do that. But the important thing to understand is why he is doing what he is doing. What is his intent? He is not interested in the beverages and the meat and the flesh and all that. No. He is a pure Vaishnava. He is not interested in that. His intent is how I can deliver these people ultimately. So they are in mode of goodness, right? I am ignorant. I cannot speak Bhagavad Gita to them. So his intent, it is said, never judge others by their action. Judge yourself by your action because you know what's your intent. But others, don't judge them by their action because you don't know what is their intent. Why they are doing what they are doing. Vaishnavera Kriya Mudra. The Vaishnava's actions and words, it's not understandable by our intelligence. By seeing, you cannot understand their action, why they are doing what they are doing. What is their intent in their heart, why they are doing what they are doing. So I would like to end here with this message of Lord Shiva's compassion. Lord Shiva's compassion for all living entities, Prabhupada's compassion for all living entities, and we should, in following in their footsteps, try to develop this compassion. And we have the same tool like what Prabhupada has given us. Give prasadam, give books, and if not, the most simple thing is what? Encourage people to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Granthra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, thank you so much for such a beautiful class, Prabhuji. Very nice point to take home today. Thank you, Prabhuji, so much. Hare Krishna.
So do we have anybody in the group who would like to share something? Questions is okay, but you know, if you all want to share something, there are a lot of many wonderful devotees out there. If you all want to share anything in this regards, any personal experiences or anything you all have heard about Srila Prabhupada, it's always so good to, you know, I love hearing, you know. Anybody wants to share, anybody wants to ask, please feel free. Mataji, do we have the time for a few minutes?
Yes, Prabhu, we can have a few minutes.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam. Thank you so much, Prabhuji, for the very, very nectarian class and the way you brought out the qualities of Lord Shiva and made us understand. It was wonderful, Prabhuji. This is what means hearing from a devotee. Very, very, very enlightening class. So, Prabhuji, my question is, Lord Shiva is Krishna in a merciful form. So somebody was asking me if we continue to worship Lord Shiva and his abode, we reach his abode, and is that also, since he is also eternal, is that the same as going to Vaikuntha or any other planet, Rama, Narasimha, or other eternal planets to serve the Lord? Can you explain more on that?
Mataji, the second part of your question, I'm sorry, I didn't get it. When you said we worship Lord Shiva for?
When a person worships unconditionally Lord Shiva and he's made him as a goal of life and he reaches his planet,
mm-hmm.
This is the same as reaching the other Vaikuntha planets of the Lord. For example, Lord Rama's devotees, Lord Narasimha's devotees. We know that each avatar of the Lord have their planet and they have their pastimes with their devotees.
Yes, Mataji. Attaining Shivalok is not equivalent to attaining Vaikuntha or to Golok Vrindavan. But Lord Shiva, he knows exactly what's the goal, ultimate goal of the Jivatma. That he must connect this Jivatma to Krishna, to Vishnu, to Narayan, to whichever form of the Lord. That's his service, just like a guru. A guru is only a media. A guru will never want, you know, if somebody says, Guru, you are God. No, that's not true. A truthful or real guru will never entertain that. Like, you know, we know of this whole incident that happened during Prabhupada's days, that there were some devotees who started establishing Prabhupada is God. But Prabhupada was very heavy on it. So similarly, Lord Shiva knows what's best for the Jivatma. To connect him to Krishna, to send him to his ultimate, his eternal Swaroop, whatever is his Swaroop. So, and I'll truthfully tell you, I know, I have personal experience of a devotee who used to be a very strong worshipper of Lord Shiva. She was a very strong worshipper of Lord Shiva. And now, because she was worshipping Lord Shiva sincerely, faithfully, so when Lord Shiva sees this devotee of mine is sincere, is very devoted, then he himself wants to bring this devotee to the next level, towards his goal. So what he did is, he connected her to one Hare Krishna devotee. And today, years later, she's such a wonderful wonderful first initiated, second initiated devotee of disciple of Radhanath Swami Maharaj. And till today, she is very thankful to Lord Shiva also. It's not that she says, don't talk about it. No. She feels very indebted to Lord Shiva that it's by his mercy I did some seva, I pleased him in some way. So what did he do? He took care of me. How did he take care of me? Not by, bringing him to my dham and then you serve me. No. What he does is he promotes this jivatma to the next level. Whatever, and he knows it best. Like a guru knows best how to engage a devotee, his disciple in with seva. So Lord Shiva knows best exactly how to promote each jivatma, at what stage, where to put him. He does it wonderfully. So it depends on how and why you are approaching not only Lord Shiva, anybody. The principle of Ye Yatha Mam Prabodhyante applies everywhere. Why are we approaching Lord Shiva? That's the important thing. If you are approaching Lord Shiva only for, you have some desires, you want to do business with Lord Shiva, Lord Shiva, if I get this, I'll give you this, then Lord Shiva also reciprocates accordingly, just like Lord Krishna. Then he will, send you to some planet or something like that. But if a devotee, if a person just wants to worship and serve Lord Shiva, then he will promote him to the higher planets.
Thank you so much, Ji.
Wonderful answer. And you all must have seen, we have this beautiful, like a map or Goloka chart, where it shown so nicely shows that just beyond the Brahma Jyoti, you have Kailash Dham, where Lord Shiva resides. And then just above that, you all will see that's where the spiritual world starts, the Vaikuntha planets. So there is a distinction. Whoever has made this has put in so much time and energy. If you study it, we'll see, there are distinctions of how each dham, even in the Vaikuntha, you have so many thousands of dhams, and then you have the Ayodhya, and then you have the, even in Golok Vrindavan, you have three different divisions, Dwarka and Vrindavan. So every dham has its own flavor and its own rasa and all. So Lord Shiva's residence is just above the Brahma Jyoti, just below the Vaikuntha plan. You can see that Golok map, it's very wonderfully explained in that.
Thank you so much, Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna, actually. Prabhuji, Koti Koti Dhanvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev ki jai. I hear so many times in Atlanta, whenever you are given a lecture, your point is, when you complete the lecture, you said that we have to forgive the Vaishnava. So Prabhuji, it's touched too hard and it's work also. When we came abroad, my Prabhuji is a businessman and his brother has captured the business, and we start from zero, a big zero. And we are not complaining anything, working 15-16 hours a day. And Prabhuji, last year when they came to our house, so that I prayed to Shri Radha Gopinath that I have to forgive them because I hear from you. Forgive them and forget them. And Prabhuji really spoke and they feel guilty and they said that whatever your path we will give you from the business. After 7 years they came here and they are not asking single time that how hard time we are passing. So that Prabhuji, thank you very much for correcting me that forgive and forget. But somehow I am very small Vaishnavi. That somehow I cannot forget that this person is given a so hard time. So what I have to do is, yes, I am not behaving anything. I just saw them like a, they are a Vaishnava so nicely. But somehow I not forget that they are given a so much hard time to us.
Mataji, thank you so much for your very kind words. And let me tell you, in this material world, nothing comes easy. It is difficult, as you are saying, to forget and forgive. It's easier said than done. But at the same time, see, we are sadhakas. What is the meaning of sadhaka? Means we are practitioners. We have to start practicing at some point, na? We cannot just get away by saying, nahi ho raha hai. No, it's not happening. It's not going to happen. Giving up is very easy. Tomorrow we can give up saying, nahi hone wala hai, forgiving and forgetting. Prabhuji can only say in his classes, but it's very difficult. we have to start practicing. And then what will happen? Out of five instances, first time, first round, we'll see four times we'll fail, one time we'll succeed. One time we'll be remembered. Prabhuji ne class mein bola. Prabhuji told in the class, I must forgive and forget. Then slowly, slowly, gradually, out of five times, then it will become three times failure, two times success. Then gradually it will become five times, may say one time failure, four times success. So it's a gradual process. It's not going to happen because the condition that we are in right now is of lifetimes. Brahmande Brahmite. We have been going through this for lifetimes. It's not yesterday that I did something wrong, today I'm going to undo it and tomorrow I'm going to become perfect. No. Patience. Utsaha Nishchay Dhairya. With enthusiasm we are going to practice. With determination. But Goswami says you need patience. Slowly. You know, when a child starts learning cycling, he doesn't master the art of cycling one day. First day he falls down. I give this example to everybody. This is such a wonderful example. When first day the child falls down, what does the father do? Does the father slap the child? Hey, you don't know cycling, you fool. No. The father goes and picks up the child and encourages him, holds his hand, puts him back on the cycle and again gets him onto prime. Similarly, whenever we take the first step and we may fall, we will fail. We will fail. But Krishna is seeing the effort that this child has started putting. Krishna sees us take that first step. Krishna is ready. Krishna is ready to hold our hands. Then he will hold our hands. As I said, he'll take charge of our lives. If we are ready to give our hands to him, that's the problem. So, Mataji, patience with sincerity. I know you are very sincere. Sincerely keep continuing whatever we have been told by Srila Prabhupada. Patiently with utsaha. You know, with enthusiasm, with determination. Giving up should not be an option also. No, giving up is not an option. Just take it out of your dictionary. Giving up karna hi nahi hai. We are going, jang mein, we've got into the battlefield, we are not giving up. It's a do or die, simple. Even in dying is our victory, and in doing, it's our victory. Both ways it's victory. Both ways it's victory for us. It's a do or die. So we are not giving up. With patience, with determination, with utsa, we're going to fight the battle. Whatever may be the result. Result, we are going to leave it to Prabhupada. At the end of life, life is preparation, examination is, death is test, examination. Whatever has to happen in death time, we'll see, we'll leave it to Prabhupada. Be sincere as you are and continue with determination and patience. Does that help, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji, but sometimes what happens without our fault, when the family person is hurting us, that time it's very painful that we try our best to them.
Mataji, what was the fault of Prahlad Maharaj? Prahlad Maharaj, he didn't have, there was no fault on the part of Prahlad Maharaj. What did he have to go through? We are not having to go through even one fraction of what he had to go through. So, this is how the material world has been designed. Rather, we should take this as a mercy of Krishna. Whenever these situations come, look up and say, Krishna is sending this. Because imagine if everything is very comfortable. Everybody is very goody-goody to you. Everything is, you know, going your way. Kuch nahi hoga. You will never cry out then. Draupadi is saying, Vipada Santo Te Shaswat Tatra Tatra. Let these Vipadas come back again and again. If somebody today made fun of you, pray to Krishna that that person may make fun of you tomorrow also. I know it's a very bold, high statement, but that's what we have to learn. I'm not going to stand up and wait tomorrow, oh, I hope this person doesn't make fun of me. No. Vipada Santata Shaswat Tatra. Because in that situation, she's saying you will take shelter of Krishna. So you should be thanking those people. I know we are not there yet, but this is where we want to be. Fault world nahi. Don't look at ki fault mera hai nahi, I am faultless. Prahlad Maharaj ko koi fault nahi tha. Guru Maharaj, what was his fault? He was a 5-year-old boy just going to his father to sit on his lap. Boom. What was his fault? 5-year-old boy. Prahlad Maharaj, 5-year-old boy. So, Mataji, don't think that I am not at fault, that I am being chastised and that's okay. Just take it as Krishna's mercy, Krishna's
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, your voice was breaking a little bit.
In this situation for our benefit.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam. Thank you very much for correcting me. Prabhuji, we are not able to hear you. Koti koti Dhanvat Pranam.
I'm sorry, Mataji, there was a bit of a power problem, so, yeah. Mataji, does that make sense, what I just shared with you?
Yes, 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 Prabhuji, Koti Koti Dhanvat Pranam. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, thank you so much, Prabhuji, for such a beautiful class. Is there anybody having any question?
Yeah, yeah, Mataji, one question. Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam Prabhu. Prabhuji, we see in the Bhuloka, that chart that you are mentioning, right? Above Bhuvar Loka, there is Janar Loka, Mahar Loka, Satya Loka. And below that, there is Atala, Vitala, Sutala, right, Prabhu? But where do we see these, Prabhu, that is, these places that is coming in these verses, like Gandharva Loka, Apsara Loka, right, Siddha Loka? Where are these places, Prabhu, in the chart?
In that chart, I don't think these Gandharva Lokas and all are mentioned over there. I think there's just something like heavenly planets or something. I'll have to see the chart because I don't have it right on my head. But these are all heavenly planets, you know, just like you have demigods. So you have all these Apsaras, you have these heavenly planets. Is it there in the chart? Have you checked it?
Yeah, it's not specifically mentioned. Yeah, Swarga Loka, Indra Loka, right? That is, it's mentioned as heavenly planets, Prabhu.
Yeah, they have just put it as Swarga Loka because it's huge, you know. You have so many Lokas. You have one Indra Loka and then you have one for Vayu and for all the demigods. Then you have for Gandharvas and also. They have just generalized it as Devaloka, Swarga Loka.
Okay, Prabhu, got it.
Otherwise,
okay.
That map would have been, you know, never ending. You would have to find where is one would have had here to Gandhar Lok and this Lok and that Lok and so on.
Okay, Prabhuji, got it. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So, Mataji, if there are no more questions, comments, we can end the call. Thank you, everybody, for your very patient reception. Vancha Kalpatru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyascha Ekanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namah Ananti Koti Vaishnav Vrinda Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Vitai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol Tantra Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai
Shri Ramchandra Prabhuji Ki Jai Thank you so much.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Koti Koti Dhanvat Pranam.
Thank you, Mataji.